Welcome to Parents Perspective. Michael, at age 5, was beginning to show a sustained interest in drawing. His mom added to his collection of crayons and oversized chalk a few large sheets of poster board and a big set of colorful magic markers. One day, he spread the poster board on the floor and spent a large part of the afternoon drawing a war, complete with trenches for soldiers, movable machine guns, and tanks with thick treads. Silently wondering whether the Army has a corps of artists, his mom expressed her appreciation of this complicated production. "Mommy," he replied, looking up momentarily from his work, "even 5-year-olds can be talented." From a parent's perspective, how can we best support and encourage our children's experiences in the visual arts? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Today, we are honored to have with us a longtime expert. Philip Ratner is a world-renowned multimedia artist, known for his sculpture, painting, etched glass, tapestry, drawing, and graphic arts. There are 2 Ratner museums in the world, one in Israel and one in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. 5 of Philip's bronzes are permanently installed at the Statue of Liberty and 40 at Ellis Island. Others are at the U.S. Supreme Court and the Smithsonian Institution. And if you visited the National Zoo in Washington, D.C., the Big Panda sculpture is also a Ratner work. He has spent 23 years teaching art in the public schools, and Philip has 4 kids and 2 grandchildren. Welcome to Parents Perspective, Phil.
Hi.
What should parents know if they're trying to encourage their children's visual arts experiences? You want your children to have some experiences with visual arts other than reading picture books.
Okay. I think probably the best thing, and that you have them everywhere, is take the kids and visit an art gallery. And they're everywhere. And a museum, not specifically an art gallery where there's some artists selling their stuff, which is more commercially oriented, but every city in America has some kind of gallery or some kind of a museum where the kids can be introduced to art. And you don't do a museum in a day.
Mm-hmm.
Go one time. 3 months later, go again. Take 3 or 4 rooms until they may remember Rembrandt. And then if you go out to a bookstore, any bookstore, and now the chains, there's a little book on Rembrandt if he or she likes Rembrandt. Bring that home. That's where you begin the orientation to appreciating the visual arts in the best place of all is you start with the masters. It's not like, oh, let's find somebody who can draw stick figures and we'll begin with them and then I'll carry you through. You go right to the top with everything.
And just small doses.
And small doses. After you see 3 rooms in the National Gallery of Art, the Milwaukee Museum of Art, the San Francisco Museum of Art, then what you do is you go out to lunch, you go to the zoo, you go to a park. So the whole thing is just a wonderful experience. Don't go past that 3rd or 4th room, though, because having 2 museums in the world myself now, which I never had until just 18 years ago, you see that people, if they go too far and push too much, adults and kids, and they're oversaturated, then everything they saw in the beginning gets washed away like eating too much food.
Well, what do you tell a parent who's new at this and is taking a 4-year-old child or a 5-year-old child to a museum and they're looking at Rembrandts and they're looking at Renoirs or Matisses or whatever? What kinds of things should they say to the child? How should they direct the child?
What do you like?
Mm-hmm.
You're talking to Mr. Simple-Minded, and don't edit this. The world, to me, is such a simple place and not convoluted. We're not talking about taking an autistic child, which I've dealt with in my teaching time. We're talking about taking a normal kid who's either brilliant or not so brilliant, boy, girl, 4 years old to 14 or 15 or 16 years old. What do you, let's start here and let's go through. And, oh, I like, your parent can say what they like or don't like. What do you like? And once you find things that they like, look for more of those or an artist that particularly moves them. Getting into the head too much of, well, before we go, let's prepare for this by looking for, it just makes it way too heavy. Life is not that complicated and art isn't either, although art historians and critics and art consultants would want you to think so. It's not. Just go.
As you're taking kids who are older and older, are there things that you would want to say, how about why don't we look for X or look for, you know, in
well,
other words, movement?
You can make an event
whatever.
Out of it, mm-hmm. but not with your own kids. When I used to take my kids, well, I taught high school. Before we went, we would talk about things like things where there's a lot of action. Let's look for pictures where there seems to be a mood of sadness, and I would send them to certain rooms to do that. I don't think you make it a learning chore. Of course, I'm a guy who doesn't believe in homework. You know, I think 3 hours a day, 6 hours a day out of your life is more than enough to do in school. So to make going to a museum into another thing of let's do this and let's do that, just go. I don't analyze being in love with my wife. I love her. And I think, why? Well, yeah, she is pretty and she's this and that, et cetera, et cetera. I didn't do it with my own kids. I didn't do it with other people's kids. An art museum is a wonderful place. Any kid that goes into an art museum and finds nothing he likes, there are animals, there's landscapes, there's flowers, there's nudes. I mean, interestingly enough, in the museum in Israel where my work is permanently, there's two life-size paintings of Adam and Eve. And we thought at first there might be a lot of problem with it, but I was going to do it anyway. Parents will come in and say afterwards, thank you for putting Adam and Eve up. Our kids are just little kids, but they're very interested in boys and girls. If you want to make them aware of the world, the art museum is the best place. I've hardly ever see little kids in a museum snickering because as you walk through, there's lots of naked people. They're in bronze and they're in marble. So you don't try to shield them from this either. It's not a good idea and it's not healthy.
For parents with young children, what would
What is young?
Preschoolers.
Okay.
What would you say is an appropriate age to give children art materials?
2, 3. And I said, give them art materials. We've said nothing about lessons. Art materials, forget about acrylics, forget about oil paints, forget about the greatest art material that's been invented in the last 2,000 years was the magic marker. You can go to any drugstore and you can get a set of 20 colors. They're washable. The kids can be inventive and you don't have to worry about them drying. Are they getting on this? Are they getting on that? And you can be, if I had 10 other friends of mine who were brilliant artists, just like me, of course, you see, I'm modest too, together at a table, said you can only work with magic markers, Picasso would turn out something fabulous with magic marker. There's nothing special about a material. And because those are inexpensive, ready, little teeny kids love magic markers. And adults can use magic markers.
The other thing is, I guess parents should be aware developmentally that large objects are easier for small hands than teeny objects where they have to have very good motor coordination.
Yeah, and a magic marker is a very easy thing to handle. And also, don't give them little teeny-weeny pieces of paper, but you don't need great big pieces of paper. 11 by 17 is perfect.
When a child presents his parents with a drawing that looks like scribbles to the parents, or a sculpture that you can't figure out at all, I'll tell you about one we had at our house, how do we react? What's good response? What's positive,
the best
productive?
Okay. I'm so brilliant at this stuff. Did you have fun doing that? Don't say it's fabulous because the kid knows it ain't fabulous. It's just dumb. Just say, did you have fun doing that? Would you like to go on and do some more? Let me see what you're doing. What? Great. Did you have a good time doing it? Period. And stop. And they say, is it good? Said, do you think it's good? Did you like doing it? Terrific. That's all.
We have a sculpture that was produced by my now 23-year-old.
Okay.
And he showed it to me many years ago out of clay. And I said, it's very interesting, but you need to tell me a little bit more about it.
He was very young at the time.
Oh, he was
right?
About 4, I think.
Okay.
And he said, well, can't you see, Mom? It's Snoopy making a BM on the potty.
See? But you opened it up because you didn't see. But if you just start with, did you have fun doing it, the kids will give you all the information you need to know. Don't make art a quiz or creativity a quiz.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion of children and the visual arts.
The excellent new book, Parents as Mentors, by hosts Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is a practical guide to bringing out the abilities in your child. Parents as Mentors is available at all bookstores.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with artist Philip Ratner about children and the visual arts. One of the things that always comes up when a child shows what a parent considers to be talent in any field, but we're talking about art today, is the parent thinks, okay, well, we better get this child art lessons. How do you feel about that?
Don't. I hate it. It's awful. They get enough art in school, number one. Then you get art lessons. And what art lessons usually involve is, even with little kids, let's paint what you did today. You don't have to go to a class to do what you did today, which is a dumb way to teach anyway. I'm sorry that I'm so wishy-washy in my opinions about things.
Yeah, it's a shame.
The next one is that they will set up some fruit or vegetables or things for the kids to do, and then the teacher is going to have to fix it up a little bit, because if the kid takes home something beautiful, then the parent is going to send them back for lessons. If they come home with lousy artwork, then they may not get a student again. And then there's what's good and what's bad. Don't give them lessons. If you've got an artist on your hands to begin with, and you're worried that if you don't give them lessons that they'll lose interest, they're not an artist.
How do you know if you have an artist on your hands?
Because that's all they can do, and that's all they will do. I have a graduate degree, of course, but I can barely read and write. An artist, it's all they'll want to do. I talk to parents every week. I can't get him away from that table. Leave him alone. But he's not playing baseball or football, or she's not out there playing with other kids. You've got an artist on your hands. We must do it. Like breathing, like a ballet dancer. It's not good for your legs. It's not good for this or that. No lessons. But you get a cart, and it's a lot cheaper than art lessons. You set up a card table in their room. You buy magic markers, and you buy color pencils, things that won't make a mess, and all the paper they want, and start buying an art book on a famous artist that they may like. Some of the most beautiful artwork in the world is illustrations in children's books. And if they want to copy, the other thing I say, don't let kids copy. Copy! That's the way the masters learned, if that's what they want to do. Save your money. Most school systems in America, no matter how difficult, still have art in elementary school, art in junior high school, and art in high school if they want to choose it. I never had a lesson in my life until I got to Pratt Institute and I was 17 and a half, almost 18 years old at college, and it didn't hurt me at all. A lot of the kids who had taken art beforehand had all preconceived ideas. They were not as open to be taught because they already knew everything.
How do we respond to a child who comes home from elementary school one day and says, I can't draw?
I have four kids, two grandchildren. Kids do come home because some stupid teacher has said this isn't a good drawing. So to heck with the teacher. And what you do is, your kid's going to come home as they get older. Somebody broke up with their boyfriend or girlfriend, left them. They didn't win the race. They didn't win the game. That's life. You know, so you can't draw. Your talent is someplace else. Everybody wasn't meant to be an artist. I think the whole thing of the 60s was a catastrophe. Everybody is a ballet dancer. Everybody is a great singer. It's all in you. Everybody's an artist. Everybody's a writer. Everybody isn't.
But I think one thing is, as parents, we need to give our children permission to use the expressive arts in any way they want.
Oh, absolutely.
Even if it's not perfect or it doesn't come up to whatever standards
are
around.
Yeah, but that would have that. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. They can use it in any way they want to. But when you get into judgment about their work or et cetera, the worst thing to do is say, I think it's good, and no matter what your teacher
Absolutely.
Says, because the kid knows you're lying to them. Kids are smart.
We had an experience in our family where one of my sons, we have four sons, and one of my sons many years ago when he was in kindergarten or first grade came home, and he didn't feel that his work measured up to whatever his standards were or whatever the next kid did or something. And we happened to have some art books that were abstract art in our house. And so I gave him the books, and it was very surprising to him that grown-ups could do all kinds of things that didn't have to look realistic. And he took the books to bed with him for about a month, and then he went into graphic design when he was older.
Great. Show him pictures. Marc Chagall couldn't draw worth a darn. I can give you a list of famous artists who couldn't draw but turned out to be Matisse couldn't draw, et cetera, et cetera. But what they do is they focus more on the design. In my 23 years of teaching, I never give a project that involves drawing, and I got incredibly creative work. I never make kids draw.
Because, why is that?
Because very few people can.
Do you think that it helps kids at a certain point?
It loosens them up. It allows them to be highly creative with projects that do not involve drawing people. Because what happens with that is what in my high school class, I was the little genius. I can't play sports. you know, 5'7", I weigh 150 pounds, what am I going to play? And I haven't grown since high school or junior high school either. I'm still the same size. In any case, what would happen is I'm over there drawing away, and the other kids are like, you know, and of course I was this, I loved it. But everybody else wasn't as good as me. If what you're doing is having kids create something in a classroom and collage, and you can only use your hands and you can't use a pencil and you have to cut and tear shapes, you will find that you will have incredibly creative results because you're not asking the kids to draw a picture of a person or an animal. Once they're over little kids, and the little kids, I mean 3 and 4, who draw animals the best of all, and as soon as they know what the animal looks like, they're all dead except for the artist. So don't go back to doing things or in a classroom where it depends on drawing, where you end up with a superstar and everybody else is third rate.
Would you say it's important in the arts to emphasize process as well as product, or maybe overproduct?
What do you mean by process?
The process of doing it. In other words, kids will do, when they're little, they'll do all kinds of creations. They'll build phenomenal block towers and all this, and then they'll knock it down and start all over the process.
I think what you're talking about more than, I would say, encourage creativity rather than reproduction of things.
But in terms of kids, I think very often, as they get to be a certain age, they have a product, and then the product doesn't measure up.
Right.
But if it's the process, if the teacher is emphasizing the process, we'll try this or try that.
If I could get the ear of all the art teachers out there, mm-hmm. you know, I'll tell them exactly what to do. And it is, as I said, focus on creativity. Don't focus on things that you know 90% of the kids can't possibly do. Matisse spent the last days of his life doing remarkably wonderful collages with just cut paper and a scissor. And you get remarkable results from that. Letters. Everybody can do letters. You can make beautiful designs in letters. So when I was teaching in high school, we would take famous quotations by famous people, cut out letters from magazines, create your own letters. I actually have a program of 72 projects, none of which involve drawing at all, of which I have taken people who could do nothing at all and end up really loving art and appreciating it. You cannot make an artist.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion of children and the visual arts.
For an audio cassette copy of any Parent's Perspective show, send a check or money order for $5 with your name, address, and phone number to Parent's Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We're talking with artist Philip Ratner about children and the visual arts.
There was the famous book, Drawing on the Left Side of the Brain, and it all sounds great. It doesn't work. The other one is watching somebody paint on TV. The guy with the, what's his name, who was a phenomena, forgot it, with the big furry hair, and found out later nobody was watching him to copy him. What people just love to watch an artist work. But most people would throw up their hands after they tried to do what he did and say, you know, why? I can't, you know, it's not coming out. It doesn't work.
So do you feel like when children have positive art experiences, they grow up into grown-ups who appreciate art more?
I hope so. Let's hope so. What we do is the best we can with everything we do and hope everything's a positive experience. And, you know, you hope for the best. That's planet Earth.
Sandy and I live in the Washington area. We've grown up around Phil Ratner work. And
can't escape it, can
that's
you?
Right.
It's
but
terrible.
We know that many of our listeners may not be familiar with some of the different kinds of things you do. Would you talk about that for a minute?
Well, talking about art over the radio
it's a little
is
hard.
Really, I mean, nobody can even see how cute I am on the radio.
How frustrating.
But I'm going to give you a secret passage to experience what Phil Ratner does. www.ratnermuseum.com. or .org, or www.israelbiblemuseum.com or .org, and you're going to see more Phil Ratners than you can imagine. the web, and I'm not a computer person, but this has changed the world. Artists call me from all over in reference to the museums, and almost the smallest artist in the world, when I say small, somebody who's just beginning or is a shoe salesman and paints or is a mother home with kids, can say, well, you can go on my website. So it's remarkable. That's where my work can be the most readily seen, or else you have to visit museums and things of that nature. Also on the website, not only can you view everything that I've done, but you are allowed to push print, take any piece of art, sculpture, or painting you want out in color and reproduce it for a card, have your kids take it to school to use for a report, anything at all that you wish to do with it. We put a copyright. Now, people always say, why do you give your stuff away? Well, I got the gift for nothing, from God, okay? And as long as I can afford to, and I can now, we're giving it all away. And drawing on a computer, by the way, is fun and exciting. That's another thing that was never here before. There are all kinds of art programs and color programs, and there you push print, and there's a piece of artwork too. The only thing about the web that's a little bit unfair is that everything looks pretty on the web. But at least it's using something the kids are living with from morning till night anyway, now in a creative way. You can draw on the web, you can color on the web, and then you can push print and have a program come out.
So it's an acceptable, different kind of opportunity.
Yeah, that's the other thing, by the way. Many teachers teach rules about art. There are no rules. The greatest, the most creative people in the world break all the rules. People say you can't do work on the computer, or you shouldn't do this. Don't ever copy a picture out of a magazine. All of these things, the creative teacher and the kid say, I want to do that. Fine. All you draw is airplanes. Can't you draw anything but airplanes? I love to draw airplanes. Fine, wonderful. Let's look at maybe doing the airplane in different colors, or how about could you make an airplane out of cut paper or out of felt instead of making it out of magic markers? That would be neat too. Or go out and buy the poly clays are the most incredible thing in the world. There are products, if I can mention one, is Sculpey. All of my 40 pieces at Ellis Island that are inside Ellis Island, I mean, this is forever. And talk about, I mean, my mother gets to say, where's your son's work? I've heard of his name. And she gets to say, the Statue of Liberty in Ellis Island. All my pieces at Ellis Island are made of Sculpey. I love it. And any parent at home from little kids can go out and buy Sculpey professional art, and they can say, this isn't just for little kids. There's a guy that I can show you on the web and all of his sculpture who's done all of this work, and he uses Sculpey.
Are there any other art experiences or resources that you would suggest for parents to enhance what their kids are experiencing?
Other than museums, other than books, other than the World Wide Web of going on, and if you put in abstract art, you'll come up with 1,000 sites. If you put in animal art, you'll come up with 1,000 sites. You've got a museum in your house now that nobody ever had before, because books do get a little pricey. And usually after you've looked at the Rembrandt book 4 times, you put it away and maybe take it out another year. For little kids, though, and young people, I mentioned it before, some of the most remarkably beautiful art being done today is in children's books. So when you go through the book, instead of just reading the story, say, isn't this a beautiful painting? I didn't notice this before. And the kid will go back and they'll look at the artwork. Artwork is stunning. Children's books are a gold mine of some of the most remarkable things being done today.
How about if parents take their children out on outings? Is there anything that they can do to enhance the experience artistically?
You mean pointing out things in nature?
Well,
I don't think so.
There's nothing that you would do specifically.
You know what? I don't want to be taught by my parents. I want my parents to love me and play with me and things like that. When we take out our grandchildren, we don't, Eli, would you notice that tree over there and how beautifully the thing? There are people who are going to totally disagree with me, but that's beside the point. I just think life is to be enjoyed and to try to make everything a learning experience, or to start pointing out things we don't have to point out. If something is really neat, like a tree that has a face in it and you see it, then that's something you may say, oh, isn't that neat? Do you see that? But to go around, and as you walk around and constantly walking with the kids, and this goes against a lot of the educational concepts that I've seen come in and out in my little lifetime, and that is don't even worry about it. When you go out to play, go out to play. You want to play with your kids. You want to take a walk without constantly teaching them.
You've certainly given away a lot of information and a tremendous amount of encouragement and support to all our parent listeners. So, Philip Ratner, thank you so much for being with us. Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Parents as Mentors. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address, and tell us what station you're listening to. Since we're airing all over the world, it's always fun to know what station you're tuning in from. Parents as Mentors is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about us and our book, Parents as Mentors, visit our website, http://i.am/parentsperspective. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.